Today is Monday, December 28th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Steve Miller in Washington. As billions around the world celebrate the holidays, a reminder from the World Health Organization.
Health workers, carers, and other essential workers have made great sacrifices to save lives and prevent suffering.
Plus, how the pandemic has affected climate change in 2020. And a look at some of the best African music videos of the year. We'll have these stories and more next. The coronavirus pandemic has dominated the news this year, and it's no different this holiday season. Despite public health warnings not to travel, many Americans boarded planes to celebrate Christmas with loved ones. Meanwhile, Europe is receiving the first shipments of a vaccine against the virus and the disease it causes, COVID-19. VOA's Carolyn Pursuti has this update.
Precious cargo arriving in many countries, carrying hope as the world delivers its first shot to end the pandemic.
At this moment, trucks with the first vaccines are on the road all over Europe, all over Germany. This vaccine is the crucial key for defeating the pandemic. It's the key for us getting back our lives.
But a new COVID-19 variant, thought to be more contagious but no more severe, surfaced in Britain. Now it has spread to other countries, including Spain.
Don't forget that the cases detected of the British strain came through the Madrid airport. Sometimes you have to remember that we have been stressing the importance of controlling the airport for the last 6 months.
It's the airport that worries American officials, too. In the week leading up to Christmas, more than a million passengers flew daily, despite warnings from medical officials who fear another spike in cases.
Pretty apprehensive. So we're masks on. Everybody stay together. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know. With the new strains coming out, I don't know if this is the smartest idea.
The virus continues its march into new areas, forcing resourcefulness to reach those in need. In Thailand, officials set up a field hospital with 30 beds inside a shrimp market. Doctors hope to reach migrant workers who live isolated in areas surrounding the market. As for the economy, a global survey by the consulting firm McKinsey shows 2 out of 3 executives think their country's economies will improve in the next 6 months. Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News, Washington.
The head of the pharmaceutical company AstraZeneca is calling a new coronavirus vaccine a winning formula. The AP's Karen Chalmers reports the vaccine is expected to be approved by British authorities shortly.
Chief Executive Pascal Soriot also said he believes the shot will be effective against a new variant of the virus driving a rapid surge in infections in Britain. Some have raised concern that the vaccine may not be as good as the widely distributed Pfizer formula. Some results suggest that the AstraZeneca shot is about 70% effective against coronavirus. This is in comparison to the 95% efficacy reported by Pfizer and its German partner BioNTech. Britain's government says its medicines regulator is reviewing the final data from AstraZeneca's phase 3 clinical trials. Karen Chalas, London.
Italians began receiving COVID-19 vaccinations Sunday after the first batch of nearly 10,000 doses arrived. Italians hope the massive vaccination campaign will soon bring an end to lockdowns and return them to their normal lives. Sabina Castelfranco has that part of the story.
A 29-year-old nurse was the first to receive the vaccine at Rome's Lazzaro Spallanzani National Institute for Infectious Diseases. Health workers at hospitals across the country were next. The government's plan is for health staff and workers and elderly residents in nursing homes to be the first in line. Those over 80 will follow, then 60 to 70-year-olds, and those who suffer from chronic illnesses. Next will be the general population, starting with school staff, police forces, and prison workers, with more than 50% of Italians now saying that they will get inoculated, and that number on the rise. The hope is that in 9 months, Italy will reach herd immunity with 70% of the population vaccinated, a total of 42 million people. The country's first allocated 9,750 doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine arrived at the Salvo d'Acquisto military base late on Christmas night. A van with the first batch of vaccines was escorted by police cars to the Spallanzani Hospital in Rome. Italian soldiers loaded other boxes of the vaccine onto military cargo planes for distribution all over the country. Five planes took off from the military base of Pratica di Mare near Rome. Domenico Arcuri, Italy's special commissioner for the COVID-19 emergency, said that with the arrival of the first batch of the vaccine, Sunday would be a symbolic and emotional day. Arcuri said the first doses arrived after a long night. He said Italians are seeing the first ray of light, but the road is still a long one before day arrives. It is important, he added, for this symbolic vaccination to begin, and this campaign will continue over the next months to lead the country out of this emergency. Italy is planning to set up pavilions in its artistic squares to dispense vaccines against COVID-19. The primrose-shaped pavilions were designed by architect Stefano Boeri, who said his team had picked the flower which heralds the arrival of spring as the symbol of the campaign, whose slogan is, Italy is reborn with a flower. There will be around 300 distribution sites in Italy, rising to 1,500 once the vaccination campaign is at its peak. Boeri, famous for designing Milan's vertical forest skyscraper, said the pavilions would be powered with solar energy and built with recyclable materials such as timber and fabric. He did not charge for his work. More than 71,000 people have died in Italy since the start of the outbreak in February. Sabina Castelfranco for VOA News. Rome.
South Africa's COVID-19 spike has taken the country to more than 1 million confirmed cases on Sunday, and President Cyril Ramaphosa called an emergency meeting of the National Coronavirus Command Council. Experts say the country's new variant of the coronavirus, dubbed 501.V2, is more contagious and has quickly become dominant in many areas of the resurgence. With South Africa's hospitals reaching capacity and no signs of the new surge reaching its peak, Ramaphosa is expected to announce a return to restrictive measures designed to slow the spread of the disease. Experts say the mutation of the COVID-19 virus has made it bind more efficiently to cells within the human body. Vaccinations haven't reached South Africa, although Ramaphosa says that he expects 10% of the country's 60 million people to be inoculated in the first few months of 2020. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the top United States infectious disease expert, said on Sunday that the country is really at a critical time in confronting the coronavirus pandemic. This as the number of new cases is soaring, even as the first 1.9 million Americans have been vaccinated. Fauci says that he hopes that 75 to 80% of the country's 209 million adults will be vaccinated in the coming months, a figure that might be sufficient for herd immunity to take hold in the country and end the pandemic. He says that with inoculations over the next several months, the U.S. could reach a critical number of vaccinated people by the middle to the end of next summer, next August. Also, the head of the World Health Organization is warning people not to forget the sacrifices made by others during the pandemic in a holiday video message.
All around the world, throughout this most trying of years, we have seen over and over again the sacrifices of so many people to protect and preserve life. Health workers, carers, and other essential workers have made great sacrifices to save lives and prevent suffering. We must not squander their sacrifices, nor those made by so many families who, this holiday season, will sit at family tables missing a familiar face.
VOA has expanded coverage of the coronavirus pandemic on our website. The UK's finance minister, Rishi Sunak, says that Britain's worried about leaving the European Union should feel enormously reassured by the free trade deal agreed to last week.
This deal also provides reassurance because there's a stable regulatory cooperative framework mentioned in the deal, which I think will give people that reassurance that we will remain in close dialogue with our European partners when it comes to things like equivalence decisions, for example. So I think that will give people reassurance combined with the ambitious vision of the City of London and the City of Financial Services for the rest of the UK as well in the statement a few weeks ago.
British fishermen said Saturday that Prime Minister Boris Johnson has sold out fish stocks to the European Union. They say the Brexit trade deal gives EU boats significant access to the United Kingdom's rich fishing waters. Some British politicians also say that the deal adds up to a sellout. The British government says the trade deal reflects the United Kingdom's new position as a sovereign, independent coastal state and provides for a significant uplift in quota for UK fishers equal to 25% of the value of the EU catch in UK waters. EU member states began reviewing the agreement this past weekend and are expected to endorse the agreement over the course of the next week. British legislators could vote on it as early as Wednesday, but even if they do approve it, the text would only enter into force provisionally on New Year's Day, as the European Parliament must also have its say. And still to come.
Clearly, the emission reductions that we've seen in 2020 due to COVID are not the right way to reduce emissions. No question about that. And most of them are potentially quickly reversible as the economy recovers.
This is VOA News.
This is Science in a Minute.
Disturbances on the sun have the potential to wreak havoc with Earth's power grids and communication equipment. A new study by biologists at Duke University in North Carolina and an astronomer from the Adler Planetarium in Chicago suggests that solar storms could also mix up the navigational abilities of whales, causing them to be stranded or beached on land. Scientists have found that some animal species can detect Earth's magnetic field and use it as a kind of GPS to navigate their migrations. The study's authors say that solar storms could be disrupting signals from that magnetic field. They suspect radio frequency noise created when high-energy solar particles smack into the magnetic field could be overpowering the whale's senses. It would be like turning off their GPS during the middle of their journey. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's International Edition continues. I'm Steve Miller. Iraqi Prime Minister Mustafa al-Khadimi appears to have come out on top in a battle with pro-Iranian Shiite militias allegedly responsible for recent rocket attacks on the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. Arab media is reporting Saturday that the alleged leader behind the attacks is being held by government forces along with several accomplices. Edward Uranian has that story.
Iraqi Prime Minister Mustafa al-Khadimi, accompanied by his top military advisors, has inspected parts of the capital, Baghdad, visiting several key security centers and taking selfies with ordinary citizens. The prime minister's impromptu inspections came amid a show of force with several pro-Iranian Shiite militia commanders, including Qais al-Khazali, leader of the Asahab Ahl al-Haq militia, over the arrest of a militia member accused of firing rockets at the U.S. embassy compound. Arab media broadcast a video of militiamen loyal to Khazali threatening Friday to resort to violence if the militia member accused of firing the missiles was not released by government forces. The man, Hossam Zerjawi, reportedly was arrested several days ago along with several accomplices. Asahab Ahl al-Haq militia fighters staged a motorcade Friday night through parts of Baghdad, reportedly trying to threaten or intimidate Iraqi government forces into releasing their comrade Zerjawi, allegedly being held by Iraqi intelligence forces. Several prominent Shiite leaders reportedly sided with Prime Minister Qasemi, prompting Asahab Ahl al-Haq to remove its fighters from the streets of Baghdad. Pro-Iranian Shiite leader Muqtada al-Sadr said in a statement Saturday that he supports the prime minister. A number of rocket attacks have been launched against targets inside Baghdad's fortified green zone recently, including the U.S. embassy compound. No Americans reportedly were hurt, although there were several Iraqi casualties from rockets that hit residential areas. Acting U.S. Defense Secretary Christopher Miller said last month that American forces inside Iraq would be drawn down to approximately 2,500 men by January 2021. Iraqi Prime Minister Qasemi told Arab media the U.S. drawdown followed an agreement he made with President Donald Trump during his recent visit to Washington. Former Iraqi ambassador to the U.S., Samir Soumaideh, told Saudi-owned Al Arabiya TV that Iran does not want to get into a conflict with the U.S. during the remaining days of the Trump administration and has urged its Iraqi allies to avoid any provocation. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
Niger began counting votes on Sunday from an election that is expected to lead the West African nation's first transfer of power between two democratically elected presidents. Results are expected in the coming days, and there have been no widespread reports of disruptions. Former Interior Minister Mohamed Bazoum, the ruling party's candidate, is the overwhelming favorite to succeed President Mahamadou Issoufou. He's stepping down after 2 5-year terms, leading the country of 23 million. Authorities say the man suspected of setting off a bomb in a recreational vehicle that rocked the U.S. city of Nashville, Tennessee on Christmas Day died in the explosion. Investigators said they used DNA to determine the remains were the suspect's. The FBI said it also matched the RV's vehicle identification number to a registration belonging to the suspect. Authorities did not provide information about a potential motive. The FBI special agent in charge said there was no indication at this time that anyone else was involved in the bombing. U.S. President Donald Trump has signed a $900 billion pandemic relief package that will deliver long-sought-after cash to businesses and individuals. Trump announced the signing in a statement Sunday night. The president had criticized the bill earlier and had asked that stimulus checks to Americans be raised to $2,000 from $600. The massive bill includes $1.4 trillion to fund government agencies through September 2021 and contains other end-of-session priorities, such as money for cash-starved transit systems and an increase in food stamp benefits. Democrats are promising more aid to come once President-elect Joe Biden takes office January 20th, 2021, but Republicans are signaling a wait-and-see approach. Though COVID-19 dominated 2020, climate change did not stop. VOA's Steve Barragona has this look back at progress and disasters in the fifth year since the landmark UN Paris Agreement on climate change.
In 2020, wildfires set records from California to Siberia. The Atlantic spawned more hurricanes than ever recorded. 2020 will be the hottest or second hottest year on record. As the planet's fever rose, the world came down with COVID-19. The coronavirus pandemic emptied streets and grounded air travel. That lowered planet-warming carbon emissions by a record 7%. But that's nothing to celebrate, says World Resources Institute Director Dan Lashoff.
Clearly, the emission reductions that we've seen in 2020 due to COVID are not the right way to reduce emissions. No question about that. And most of them are potentially quickly reversible as the economy recovers.
Fundamental changes are needed around the world, he says. Some countries stepped up this year, says Columbia University law professor Michael Gerard.
The single most important climate policy event of the last year was probably President Xi of China announcing China's goal of getting to net zero emissions by 2060. Several of the countries in Europe also increased their climate ambition. So much of the rest of the world is moving in this direction.
And I have to say,
The United States, under President Donald Trump, has been moving in the opposite direction, he says, loosening environmental regulations and boosting fossil fuel production. But Joe Biden's victory over Trump in November marks a new direction, he says.
There's no question that President-elect Biden is going to do a 180 from what President Trump has done.
Biden has made fighting climate change a top priority. A divided Congress may limit how far he can go to rein in emissions, though. States may go further, like California's governor did this year, ordering an end to gas-powered car sales by 2035. Banks and investors cooled on fossil fuels this year, too. Major banks said they will not invest in Arctic oil and gas projects. And the U.S. Federal Reserve called for climate action for the first time, Lashoff notes.
The idea that climate change poses a serious threat to the U.S. financial system has totally gone mainstream, and 2020 was really the year that that took hold.
2020 marks the five-year anniversary of the U.N. Paris Agreement to fight climate change. But the world is nowhere near the goals that leaders set to stop dangerous global warming, says UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
But the commitments made in Paris were far from enough to get there, and even those commitments are not being met.
The world's fever kept rising in 2020, and scientists say time is running out to bring it down. Steve Barragona, VOA News.
And as Monday gets underway, it's time for some most excellent beats.
Top 10 countdown of the best African music videos from 2020. That's what's going on right now. Hey, everybody. I'm Heather Maxwell, host of the Music Time in Africa radio program on the Voice of America. And these are the best 10 music videos I have come across all year. Let's get started. Number 10 is Wah by Santrinos Raphael from Togo and featuring Zainab from Benin. This music video is so loved because it's unifying. It bridges love and respect across countries and across generations. Number 9 is Mukwasha by Ja Preza from Zimbabwe. This music video is the funniest one I have come across all year. Mukwasha means son-in-law, and it depicts the common relationship between a man and his in-laws in rural Africa. Coming in at number 8 for best overall vibe is the Amapiano hit Akulaleki by Samson Soweto and featuring Zimbabwean singer Shasha, DJ Maporisa, and Kaza the Small. Number 7 is Emergency by Boston P. Young and featuring Wendy Shay. This is the most romantic music video from 2020, especially in light of the coronavirus and all the emergencies we've had. The video with the best blend of traditional African culture and total global pop comes in at number 6 with Wonderful by Burna Boy. The costume, the dance, the juxtaposition of global with micro-local is just breathtaking in this video. Number 5 lands us in Uganda with Tweyagale by Eddie Kenzo. With its easy tempo and friendly vibe, this is the best feel-good music video of 2020. It's also inspired others to do their own versions of it, like this one by Masaka Kids Africana. Now, number 4 is out of Tanzania. It's Quarantine by Diamond Platnumz and his whole Wasafi crew.
Quarantine, okay. Quarantine moves, yes, quarantine. On the left, to the right. 1, 2, 3, 4, then 5.
This one premiered in May, so that was early on in the coronavirus outbreak. And it just uplifted us.
Quarantine, quarantine moves, yes, quarantine.
Number 3 is Duduke by Simi from Nigeria. Now, this is the sweetest music video about family and specifically about mother and child. Number two out of Kenya is Susanna by Sauti Sol. This video is beautiful and it's deep. It speaks to all of Africa with its storyline of a sister who has lost her way overseas, lightening her skin, getting body modification implants, and her family is begging her to come home where she's loved. And finally, number one is Jerusalem by Master KG featuring Nomcebo Zikode. This music video from South Africa premiered in December 2019 and has since taken the world by storm. It is a global dance craze. The music video has over 280 million views, and that's just scratching the surface, as countless more videos have emerged from fans around the world doing their own versions of this amazing dance. And that's Music Time in Africa's top 10 best African music videos of 2020.
I really appreciate my colleague Heather Maxwell, the host of VOA's Music Time in Africa, sharing those finds with us. And you've been listening to International Edition on the Voice of America. On behalf of our entire production team, thank you very much for listening. Be sure to stay up to date with world news and events 24 hours a day. You can do so by pointing your web browser on your phone, your tablet, your desktop computer, or any other device to voanews.com. And don't forget about our top-of-the-hour newscasts. Until next time, I'm Steve Miller in Washington. Be well, be safe, and have a magnificent Monday.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
A little more than two generations ago, the United States and Vietnam were at war. During the 1960s and early 1970s, American forces used millions of gallons of chemicals to destroy jungle cover used by enemy troops to hide their movements. A heavily used defoliant was Agent Orange, a compound that included dioxin, a chemical that we've since learned causes adverse health and environmental consequences. Since the war ended, the United States and Vietnam have made great strides in setting aside their acrimony, finally establishing diplomatic relations in 1995. The two countries now share strong trade and economic relations. They cooperate in the fields of science and technology, education, the environment and health, defense and security, and to resolve war legacy issues. Cooperation on environmental remediation or cleanup of the areas that were most heavily contaminated with Agent Orange was high on the list. At the request of the government of Vietnam, the U.S. government, working through the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, agreed to complete cleanup of the Da Nang Airport, which had high dioxin concentrations in the soil left over from the war. That project was finished in 2018. Next on the list was the Bien Hoa Air Base area, the primary site for the storage and handling of Agent Orange during the U.S.-Vietnam War and the largest remaining dioxin hotspot in Vietnam. USAID estimates overall remediation efforts will be completed over a 10-year period. In late November of this year, National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien announced that USAID will contribute another $20 million to the cleanup of Bien Hoa Air Base area, bringing the total U.S. contribution to over $110 million. In the past, we were opponents on the battlefield, but today our security relationship is all about cooperation, said Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Since then, we've built a friendship on common interests, mutual respect, and bold resolve to overcome the past and look toward the future. The United States is committed to working with the government of Vietnam to resolve war legacies while continuing to strengthen the economic, cultural, and security ties between the two countries. USAID's efforts to clean up dioxin at both Bien Hoa and Da Nang have been critical to building mutual trust and cooperation while deepening the U.S.-Vietnam comprehensive partnership.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.